Hi everybody, it's George from Gaming My Whole Life coming at you with episode 21. Today's going to be another solo take, so let's enjoy. I've been having a look at the Gaming My Whole Life group page, Positive Gaming Space, and as usual there's a lot of good conversations going on there, and conversations which thought would make great discussion points for the podcast. So here we go. So one post which I made, which has been great, everyone's been giving me their opinions and whatnot, is I made a post saying it's easy to ignore great games on another system. Now, what does that mean? Well, not all gamers own every single console. At the moment we have three, we have Nintendo's, we have Sony's, and we have Microsoft's. Now, chances are, well, if you're a gamer, you have at least one of those, if you're not PC exclusive. And if you're lucky, you have two of the consoles. And if you're very lucky and very dedicated, you have all three. Now, that being said, anyone who listens to this show, you know I'm a Nintendo fanboy. You know I highly respect Sony. And you know I'm waiting for Microsoft to, you know, bring more games which I'm personally interested in. Now, if you're in one boat over the other, it's very easy to ignore quality games that deserve your attention. But since it's not on your choice, well, you're gonna miss out. I was thinking about it when I was playing, I was actually watching my partner play Zelda, Breath of the Wild. And I like watching her, it's just a joy to behold, it's a magnificent game. I'm not gonna get into the details because you know it's a great game. Anyone who has played it knows it's a great game. It's got in the reviews, it's backed up. It's getting the same sort of praise that the most recent God of War game came out. Now, we're talking about two console exclusive games, two games which again 10 out of 10s everywhere, and two which deserve your time and attention. Now, I was thinking of God of War, and yeah, it's a great game, you know, so Zelda, but it's so easy to overlook either one of them if you don't have the console, and that's what I wanted to discuss. So while watching my partner play Zelda, I was thinking, you know, it's just such a good game, you know? Like, it's just an absolute joy. It has nothing to do with if you're a Zelda fan or even a Nintendo fan. If you're just a fan of quality games, you're probably going to find something you can enjoy in this. I know people who, even when they come over, play the game, love it, don't have a Switch, and they miss out on that amazing experience. And one thing which I'm always wondering to myself is, How can you let that be? Like, you know, gaming is my life and my world and I'm passionate about it. It's why I have this podcast. It's why I have that Facebook group, Positive Gaming Space, which is just blooming. It is growing so big. It's ridiculous. I'm actually really happy about it. Yeah, you can overlook games that you shouldn't. You know, people who don't have Zelda Breath of the Wild are missing out. And I understood that more while thinking about God of War. As much of a Sony fan I am, and I've had the original PlayStation, PlayStation 2, and PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 4, I don't actually have it. Doesn't mean that, you know, I haven't had ample opportunities to buy it, and that, you know, I don't get a chance to play regularly at friends' houses, but I've never bought the system for myself. Reason being, you know, when it first launched, it was actually really dry on exclusives. Like, the PlayStation 4 you see today was not the PlayStation 4 we got when it launched. It had barely any games. There wasn't really much reason to even make the jump. And I took my time. And before I knew it, there was just so many PC games and so many Nintendo games that, you know, I didn't have time to buy another system and have more of a commitment to what games I need to buy. Like, I'm still working on my Steam backlog and all these Nintendo games that I want as well and come in. And the idea of adding more games to it is a bit scary. But I started thinking about it this way though. People who play God of War love that game. They love it, love it, love it. They can't speak highly enough of it. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the only reason why I can overlook this is because I don't have the system. And I thought, that's it. That's how it must be for non-Nintendo fans when they see a Nintendo game come out. And, you know, to be honest, it's actually rare Nintendo gets below a 10. unless it's you know, like a Kirby game or something. Not that those games aren't good, but they're not masterpieces on the scale of Zelda or Mario. So I'm like, okay, all right, I get it. I'm ignoring God of War because I don't have the system. Other people are ignoring Breath of the Wild because they don't have the system. And then I realized no one's a winner here. No one's the winner. You know, we're all gamers. We want to experience amazing games that we will remember for years to come. We're missing out, you know? And I understand there's a lot of things that get in the way. If you're an adult, time can play a big part, which is why I didn't get the PlayStation 4. You know, money, buying a whole brand new console just so you can play those few games that you can't get elsewhere, it's gonna put a lot of people off. You know, we have to be responsible with our money. And if we can barely afford to pay our bills, buying a video game console on credit and being in debt would just be irresponsible. But if you can afford it, if you're sitting on the fence and you're like, look, I can afford it, but I don't know. My thought is, hey, if you can afford it, and if you actually have the time, do it. Like, I'm actually going to start saving some more money and get myself a PlayStation 4 soon. Because it's just reached the stage where there's so many exclusives I want to play, haven't played, and there's even more coming. You know, I want to get The Last of Us games. I want to get The Last of Us 2. I want to get this God of War. I want to get that Spider-Man that's coming that looks fantastic. Like, there's just a whole bunch of games on the PS4, and I want to enjoy that, you know? I hope people do the same with the Switch and even Microsoft. If another system has at least a few games, you know, if it's one game, it's a bit of a stretch to buy a whole game console for it. But if there's at least a few, I feel it warrants the purchase. And if financial is such a big thing, then wait for the next follow-up console to come out and then buy cheaper. So for example, if you can't afford the PlayStation 4 right now, wait until the PlayStation 5 releases, man. The price in the PlayStation 4 is going to dip because everyone will want to get the latest tech, and that would be the PlayStation 5. Especially if it's backwards compatible. Wait for those sales, maybe grab a second hand. Yeah, just thought I'd share my thought on that. Maybe it's something you hadn't considered before, that hey, I'm missing out on great games. Like, the first thing that came to my head when I played Zelda, I know I keep going back to this example, but I cannot remember the last time a game has had such a strong impact on me as Zelda did, is I would hate to have not experienced what I experienced with that game. If I didn't have the Switch or a Wii U, I wouldn't experience that masterpiece. And if I didn't have the console, I wouldn't know any better either. So all I can think of is like, hey, how many other games am I missing out on other systems that I don't have? Because I've just brushed it off as, I don't have the system, whatever. I recognize it's probably amazing, like people say, but I don't have it. No, dang it, I'm gonna save up my money. I'm gonna get those consoles. Now, the other point, the other discussion I wanted to have is scrolling through Positive Gaming Space now. I made a post on it just a moment ago because I was feeling pretty passionate about it. Ah, here we go. The title for this is should you purposely not buy the game you want at launch? Yeah, that sounds like a pretty odd thing to say. So I'm going to just read out the post word by word. Yeah, so you can understand what my thoughts are. And I guarantee this is something which any and every gamer can discuss, because that's the day and age we live in with, you know, you understand in a moment. I'll get to the story. So I'll read it out. I posted this 3 hours ago. Should you purposely not buy the game you want at launch? It's an odd thing to say, but early adopters are getting the short end of the stick. Let me explain the madness we find ourselves in. We have two gamers. Gamer A is buying best game ever, like that's just what we're going to call it, the day it comes out, has it pre-ordered and paying extra for that limited edition. Gamer B is going to wait a few months. Let's call them GA and GB. All right, in text that made sense, but in the podcast I'll just say it. So Gamer A pre-ordered the collector's edition for 120 AUD. As such, he gets to play the game the moment it's available. Sadly, The single player campaign has several bugs that developers promise they will patch ASAP. And the online service for multiplayer just keeps crashing. After a couple frustrating weeks, the devs have released a patch that fixes some of the issues. You're trying to be patient as gamer A. The game itself is fun.
I really need to edit my own posts. But look, the game's fun, but you have a feeling that they've released the game earlier than they should have. You know, you have become an unofficial tester and get the feeling the devs are not very sorry since they are gloating it's their fastest selling game ever. Now, I have experienced that. I have experienced that where a developer will release a game which has had a lot of hype around it. I'm all excited. I've pre-ordered it. I've loaded it up. And it's crashing on me. I'm having trouble launching it. It launches. It's giving me frame rate issues. Even when I put the settings down to low, there's bugs. I'm falling through the floor. It's a bit of an ugly mess, especially when you've paid for that collector's edition. You've paid a lot of money and you've given them the benefit of the doubt because you've pre-ordered. You know, you've said, I trust you so much, I'm not even going to wait for reviews. I'm going to get this game because it looks amazing. When that said game isn't playing well, and you know, you jump online and you try to see what the developers are saying, and there's no apology. It's just saying, hey, this game has sold through the roof. The pre-orders were huge. This is amazing. We are so happy to our fans, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, okay, it's sold really well. I'm part of that group that supported you. Great. But I feel a little tricked here. I spent my hard-earned money and, you know, you should be making a public announcement saying, hey, we're sorry we released an unfinished product and that it's buggy. Like, we're going to try fix this as soon as possible. Anyways, and, you know, by the time they have fixed, you know, some or most of the issues, you've already beaten the main story, most likely. You may have already clocked the game. Maybe you're doing some side missions or something, but you're ready to move on. And another month after that, the devs release a great patch. Really smooth and adds improvements of life to the main campaign. Features which would have been greatly appreciated during your run. Maybe you can start again. That's Gamer A's experience. He put confidence in the developers, bought it straight away. Yeah, he got a buggy experience until the developers got round to fixing what should have been working before they even released it. Now, Gamer 2 sees the game with a 15% discount on Steam for the regular version. Buys it for $85. Gamer A spent $120. Gamer B, he waited on Steam, bought it for cheaper. Single player campaign, pretty much has no bugs left. Runs smoothly, and online services for multiplayer are not having those issues you heard about. Like, great game, and that latest patch makes the run so much more fun. This scenario sucks, yeah? The early adopter who supported the company first and paid more got a lesser experience than the one waiting for a price cut. This is not something you should accept. Developers need to release games when they are ready and not release earlier because the publishers demanded it. The success of games is based around the initial sales mostly as well. That's the most frustrating thing. If there's enough hype and attention built around a game, even if it is released broken and there's a lot of complaints, that game is still technically a success. If there's been millions of pre-orders, it's a success, whether it's good or bad. You know, that happened. It's not good. It's not good. I don't even need to explain why it's not good. You know it's not good. Now, these thoughts came to me last night while I was playing Watch Dogs. It ran nicely for me, but I know its launch wasn't such a pleasant experience. The game was not released 3 months ago. Like, I know that. It released ages ago, but this is what got me thinking. The people who really believed in Watch Dogs, who saw the initial trailer, read all the previews, and like, Ubisoft, you got this down. This is fantastic. I'm going to pre-order this game. And a lot of people did, heaps. It didn't live up to the visual fidelity, which it showed during that E3 trailer. For those of you that don't know, when Watch Dogs was first shown, it looked amazing. it looked breathtaking. It looked the next gen. You keep hearing that term thrown around. It looked next gen. Like, it showed the main character walking down the street with the wind blowing and the lights and the reflection and the cars, and just, it looked amazing. And then you went and bought it and you're like, this barely looks like what I saw. So a lot of people were upset about that. And then the other half people were just upset by what, unfortunately, Ubisoft has a bit of an annoying habit doing, and that is releasing buggy games. Like, what the duck? What are you doing? Like, I know things get patched later and all that, but the discussion and point I'm trying to make here is the experience is already blown. Like, what about gamer A, who invested the most emotionally and financially and got a broken game, just so then by the time gamer B could be bothered buying it on a discount, got a better experience than him or her? That doesn't sound fair, does it? No. Gamer A, though, the sales from that initial launch period, they're the ones that made Watch Dogs a success and is the reason why Watch Dogs 2 went into development and then was released. That's a little bit of food for thought. What is this strange day and age that we do live in, where because things can be patched later, games can and are often released incomplete? I think that's what also leads to such strong loyalty from gamers with other companies. Like, when Naughty Dog releases a game, it's been in development a long time. You know there's going to be as little bugs as possible. That is going to be a smooth experience. You don't even need to think about it. The Last of Us 2 coming out, bang, get that day one, you are set. Nintendo, any game they release, it's good. And I don't mean just like by fun and all that. I mean, at the very least, the quality is there. You're not going to have Mario falling through the ground. You're not going to have Link accidentally jump over a mountain in Zelda. When Metroid Prime releases, Metroid Prime 4, when the Pokemon game comes out, when Mario Aces, the tennis game, comes out, any game with a Nintendo freaking logo slapped on there, it works as it should. And the sad thing is, as special as this sounds, this shouldn't be special. A working game shouldn't be special. It should be the minimum expectation for your money. Now, I'm not a fool. I know that game development costs a lot more now. We know that developers drive that point home all the time. And yes, when you have a massive marketing campaign centered around launching your game on the 3rd of March, don't know why I chose that date, but the 3rd of March, and then you can't make that launch, that's literally a lot of money, a lot of hype, a lot of effort thrown out the window. But here's the thing, you should not be setting a launch date if you don't think you can make it. You know, you made that launch date how long ago? 3-4 months ago. Sometimes even much earlier. Sometimes it's like 7 months notice. It's whatever the amount is. You as a publisher say that, or developer, depending if you're independent or not. And then as you get closer to the date, you're like, oh, I don't think we're going to make it in time. Then what business did you have setting that date in the first place? Keep your mouth shut until you know different. It doesn't mean that you can't promote your game in the meantime and do previews and this and that, but when you're more in a closer where you are just around the corner from finishing, like the game is done, all you're doing is polishing it so it's a smooth experience, and you're like, right, we'll just polish this off for another 2-3 months. Set that date, and you know, at the very least, the game is already done. You're just polishing it. Don't, not whatever state it's in, rush it out the door, because then gamers, they get their feelings hurt. And that is actually a really important point. Gamers are very emotional, very passionate people. If you burn the bridge with us, we seriously hold a grudge for like 10 years. Like, I am not even exaggerating. Have you seen the amount of hate that is going towards EA lately? Even on my very own podcast, Have I enjoyed EA games in the past? Hell yeah, they've released some amazing games. They used to be centered around quality. Do I think that they've always milked the sports genre too much? Yes, especially when they made it like every 6 months to a year you had a sports game. Calm your farm. Work longer on the game to make it better, especially with very little foreseeable differences between the versions. But now they're all known for the loot boxes and the microtransactions and the this and the that. And you know what? Older, mature gamers like myself, or even if you're young, just any gamer who's passionate enough, we remember these things. We make a point not to buy your product, to send you a message. EA could release a fantastic game tomorrow. And you know what? I ain't buying it. That bridge is burned. In my head, that company's dodgy. I don't want to support them as long as I can help it. Because even if they say they're not going to do something, I ain't going to believe it. What's the catch? What am I not seeing here? Yeah, all companies, it isn't just EA, all companies need to be aware of this and tread carefully. There's nothing more exciting than a brand new game. Load it up on your PC or console or whatever. And there is nothing more devastating than that game not working. And then don't you feel like an idiot? You spent that extra money, you're sitting there, and your game barely runs, or it's not doing what it should, or you have floating people and floating cars, like it's just that much of a mess. You feel silly. You're like, man, I should have saved my money, maybe bought this later after some patches, and even saved myself some money. So that deters you. So then the next time that very same company releases a game, you're gonna think twice about it, aren't you? Because you're gonna be like, I don't know. But you know what? If the game was working properly from the start, as it should have been, you're not gonna think about it. You're gonna be like, oh, Watch Dogs was awesome. I loved that game. And then when Watch Dogs 2 was announced, you're like, yes, you're gonna put a pre-order on that straight away. It's a shame. It's a shame. I don't know why people accept these. I don't know, maybe it's the excitement. Maybe there's just so many people that get so excited about games that it doesn't even matter if it does launch broken. The amount of effort, and I'm not making fun, I'm trying to be genuine here. The amount of effort that they need to stop themselves buying a game they really want until it's better, maybe it's too much for them. All I can imagine is there must be a lot of them if the companies can still get away with it. If Ubisoft can get away with it. If, you know, even Capcom has done it a few times, which, that's a knife to the heart because I love that company. When they released, what was it, Street Fighter V? I think that was the numbered title. It didn't have an arcade mode and it didn't have a story mode either or something. It only had online multiplayer. Something very basic like that. It literally was an incomplete game. I was originally looking really forward to that game. And when I saw it was incomplete, I'm like, whoa. Hang on. I'm a vote with my wallet kind of man. What are you doing? Just, it's above me. I still haven't bought that game. Even though they have fixed the issues, I don't want to give them my dollar. I want to send the message loud and clear. You release something you shouldn't, and I won't buy it. I don't know, I feel with the online community, a lot more gamers are rising up and uniting. When I make a post on the Facebook group, Positive Gaming Space, and I'm like, hey, like these very topics which I've discussed today are obviously straight from that page. I created these topics, so obviously I'm allowed to reuse them here in that podcast. And pretty much everyone agrees with me. They're like, yeah, that's not cool. What do you do? You know, no one wants an incomplete game. But yeah, I guess companies will get away with what they can. It's their loss. I think they're paying for more in the long run because loyalty pays more dollars. Nintendo can release a game in a genre I'm not interested in. But you know what? Because it's Nintendo, I'll give it a try. They have earned that. Same with other companies that I respect. They release a game, I will try it out. Like, I respect their skill and their talent. And even though I've enjoyed EA games before, even though I've enjoyed many Ubisoft games before, and I'm enjoying Watch Dogs as we speak, there's a lot of caution around those companies. And what was the other one? Activision, they can be a little bit of a hit and miss as well. they've caused all this mistrust. And I think financially, it costs more money to release a game sooner and get those sales than delay it, miss out a little bit on your launch window and your marketing budget, and launch and get, say, a 9 out of 10 as opposed to a 7. Or like an in-progress review. What is that? I've seen that, in-progress. That's one thing which I respect. Oh, what's that YouTuber's name? It's awesome. Angry Joe. So I watch the Angry Joe show, right? I respect him because he has a lot of old school values. If he feels a game is being dodgy or a company is being dodgy, he will call it out for what it is. And so I really like that. And one point which he always makes when he reviews a game is, because some people in the comments are like, hey Joe, your these things are going to get fixed later. And he's like, all right, cool. They're going to get fixed later. That's true. But what he's reviewing is the now. If a game is released broken and he reviews that game, he's going to review it as a broken game. He's not going to be like, oh, this is a 7 out of 10, but you know, I will lift my opinion to a 9 out of 10 once they fix this. It's like, no, if he gets a buggy game and he reviews it, he's going to call it as it is. And you as the gamer listening should call it as it is. Don't think you're insignificant because you're one person. Your money, your voice counts. Yeah, whew, I got really fired up in this podcast. I really am enjoying these topics. I love the people in that Facebook group. Just, you know, I'll think of these topics and we'll talk about it together. And being a gamer is awesome. Connecting with other gamers, just as awesome. Anyways, you've been listening to Gaming My Whole Life, episode 21. Thanks for your time. Happy gaming, and I'll speak to you all next time.